Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Obviously, it feels like we're starting to enter into chapter three of the BTK story when we thought the series was over. We thought everyone had died from the cast. And I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but seriously, we thought this was done. Sheriff Eddie Vierden had a chance to go and sit down with BTK. Before BTK even knew what he was there to talk about, BTK, he managed to get him to kind of go into some of his fantasies, so to speak. And one of those fantasies was talking about a laundromat and seeing a young girl there and waiting till she was there alone and going in with a ruse, getting under his vehicle and then doing the BTK thing. And then Eddie said, hey, by the way, that happens to be the same case I'm here to talk about. And we have Bad Laundry Day in his writings as well. And I'm curious as to what the hell else is in those writings. I'm wondering, with the 200 some things that we know that are in there, they're not public, but I just talked to one of your favorite people, Coffendaffer, about that earlier today, about how do you get your hands on this thing? And can you do a FOIA request? I'm going to look into that more. But what do you think is going on here? Is this the beginning of BTK playing another game with what he said to Eddie Vierden, and then that being the exact case that they are trying to find more information about? And I should note, BTK denies any involvement.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, and the X factor here is Carrie Ross and his daughter.
Yes.
You know, like, she is out there. She's helping. Like, she's helping law enforcement. She's doing everything she can to try to get some cases closed if they exist.
Yeah.
So in terms of your first question, yeah, you can make a FOIA request.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it.
Sure.
There's no way they're going to turn it over. Like, I imagine that there's been thousands of FOIA requests for that information.
I would imagine, yes.
To me, to be honest with you, like, it's one of those things that if it gets to the point where they finally kind of shut down the investigation once and for all, like, truly, then at that point we'll be able to get our hands on it. But if there's any kind of active investigation going on, they're not going to release that information, because you know who will know? Mm-hmm. Is Dennis Rader.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be national news and he'd become aware of it, and then you risk the potential of him clamming up and not telling any more fantasy stories.
Sure.
Which you can then link to an active investigation. You know what, mm-hmm, I mean? Like, that will not happen. I do not anticipate that it'll happen, as much as we would like it to. But, you know, I mean, they want to keep him talking. Mm-hmm. You know, they just want to keep him talking. And he wants to talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, he's got that kind of ego where he's willing to talk about things. And, you know, I mean, like, you go in and you try to, there's like every strategy you're trying to get him to talk, mm-hmm, going in and trying to appeal to his human nature if he has that, you know. And, like, I mean, Carrie Rawson has been very forthcoming, and I find her to be an incredible human being.
Sure.
She's brave enough to go out in public and talk about something that none of us, probably on the planet, maybe one other person that I can think of that is willing to talk about their life as a child of a serial killer.
Yeah.
And what that entailed, you know. And it's like, we have a lot to gain from that in terms of law enforcement being able to utilize that and trying to understand how these guys operate, mm-hmm, how they think, what they do on a daily basis, how do they interact with their family, are they capable of love? All those things that you wonder about serial killers, you know, we're getting like a real mind's eye into it, which is really difficult, man. It's, mm-hmm, like, a lot of these guys just clam up, you know, yeah, or they just sit there and pontificate and, you know, they deny that they did anything. You know, that seems to be kind of par for the course, but to kind of be digging in where you've got some sense of openness in terms of his willing to discuss things, no matter if it's under a guise or not, you know, the fact of the matter is he could have told them, I'm not talking about my fantasies with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, there's this element to him of wanting to talk. So hopefully they're going to get some skilled people in there to keep them talking. and yeah. see if we can close some more cases.
I mean, just watching his behavior since the Koberger case broke and him wanting to talk and almost feeling like, I don't know, when I look at his reactions to talking about all these other cases over the last year, which he's certainly made himself known, which I found to be creepy and interesting all at the same time. Yeah. We know this is what his MO is. Dennis has always been about getting in the media, getting attention. And I think he kind of found some traction there. People were actually listening to his commentary. And I'm wondering if he missed it being about him, if other people were taking the spotlight as being a horrible human being and he wanted that title. And that's why suddenly Dennis is the spotlight of a possible another murder. And the evidence there, if we're just looking at what's on paper, if we're looking at his writings, if we're looking at what he weirdly told Sheriff Eddie Vierden, that adds up. However, the thing with this specific case, Cynthia Kinney, who is a 16-year-old cheerleader, there was no body ever found.
Right.
And that's the part that we are missing. There's been many other things that they're looking into, like four or five other cases. Several of those, the KBI has come out and other authorities have said, we don't believe there's a connection here. Some of them, they weren't quite Dennis's MO. One was actually a rape. He'd never raped anybody, as far as we know. So it always didn't quite add up. Cynthia Kinney, no body. So we don't know exactly how that all ended. But damn if what he's saying and what he wrote doesn't paint the picture of what happened, or at least the moments leading up to the disappearance of Cynthia.
For sure. And it's one of those things. It goes back to what you were kind of like when you started your little soliloquy there, where you're talking about, like, does he miss being in the limelight? And I think the answer is unequivocally yes. These guys have egos. I mean, every serial killer was basically the same way that I can think of, other than like Israel Keyes, like where they, you know, really took to, you know, the publicity about their case. They're reading their own press clippings. You know, those kind of things exist for certain with these guys. And, you know, but that plays against you as well in terms of him potentially making up facts in order to have law enforcement run on a wild goose chase in terms of facts that may be known to the public. Now, the question becomes, you know, are there cases that aren't publicized, that there's no public information out there that it's accessible to him via the internet, and he's giving details that only the killer could know? That's a different story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, those are the kind of connections they're trying to make. It's always the thing, you know, that's always the ruse with law enforcement in terms of, well, that's why they're so close-lipped in terms of what they're going to release to the public, because they need to obtain the ability to be able to vet somebody who may be confessing to crimes. And I know it's bizarre, but there are absolutely people that confess to crimes that they don't, you know, in order to get the attention. That's a strange phenomenon, but it happens. And when you've got a guy who, for all intents and purposes, is never walking out of a jail cell, right? You know, at that point, if he's trying to make a play to keep himself relevant, you know, because I think that there is a lot of, you know, I mean, you had, who's the psychologist that was talking about that, you know, she was teaching BK.
Ramsland, Catherine Ramsland.
Catherine Ramsland, you know. So like, as soon as she brings that up, his ears perk up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as soon as she came public with that, he's like, oh, somebody's talking about me. You know, it's like he was back in the game right then and there. I kind of blame Kath for that, but you know, everyone was just trying to get that connection. Everyone wanted to be tangentially involved with that case for some reason. So, I mean, it's interesting, man. I mean, it sure does fit, though.
I want to note this. Catherine replied to us the other day. I had her on a couple of weeks ago, and right before all this broke, and we did a whole long 5-part piece about BTK, talking about her experiences with him. And she said this to us: I'd like to see how the Raider stuff plays out first in response to our request to have another conversation. This may be a tempest in a teacup. So far, no testing has been done to prove anything. And that is true. We are going on these bits and pieces of evidence. There's probably not a lot of physical, much of anything. I know they just did dig up his yard, so we'll be interested to see if there was anything found that connects him to Cynthia Kinney. But without that, if there is no physical evidence, there is no body, and it's just this weird speculation. Is this a case where unless he confesses to it, we may never really know?
There's no case. Yeah. You can't try him without any evidence.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Unless he flat out just confesses to it. Mm-hmm. He said, like, without any evidence, you can't try a case.
Yeah.
Nothing to try. You know, you're not going to get, like, it's got to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to vet, like, you have to weigh this concept. Is he just trying to be relevant? You know, mm-hmm. did he, like, in his, you know, recitation of the story in terms of his fantasy, did he say anything that couldn't have been known by the public, like detail? You know what I mean? Like, those are the key factors you're looking for in that type of situation. So, you know, and I wasn't privy to it, you know, you know what I mean? But without any kind of evidence, man, there's nothing there. There's, you can't try it. Like, it's impossible to try short of him confessing to it, which he might, you know, and even then, like, if they don't have any other evidence and they suspect that might be the case, that he's just trying to get back into, you know, the public domain, public, you know, perception, and they don't have any other evidence. I mean, they might pause, like, really, but if, you know, if he's saying I'm willing to plead out to it, I mean,
he has an immunity right now if he wants it, but he's also said, I don't want to take credit for someone else's work. And I'm paraphrasing there, but it was that kind of cold weirdness of referring to a murder as work.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's like, they consider themselves kind of a weird fraternity. You know, these guys, they really do. It's like, it's something that exists in the world. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting for certain, but at this point, like most cases, we're just speculating until we know more, you know, but it's fascinating though, you know, like, and I just love that Carrie's out there fighting the good fight and, you know, and she takes a lot of heat, you know, it's like people come at her in terms of saying, oh, money grab. I'm like, what are you talking about?
She's not making money at this.
Point is like, she is not making any money. No. And, you know, if she writes a book and makes some money, God bless her.
Good for her. That,
she survived, like, exactly. Like, she survived trauma unlike any of us have.
Yeah.
And she's willing to discuss it to try to help. Like, anybody who's given her spite over that, you know, I can kiss my boot.
100%.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.